Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
2-1 the final. Jersey in overtime defeating the Buffalo Sabres as we welcome you to the post game. Ryan Colziel with you here along the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Tough second and third for the Sabres. Clearly fatigue playing an issue in this one as the Devils were all over Dustin Tokarski, but he gives the Sabres a point. They needed it for sure, and they almost had a chance at winning the game. But Pavel Zacha's second of the season on a really hard wrist shot in overtime is the difference, and the Devils win in overtime 2-1. The Sabres drop to 3-1-1 on the season. 7 points. We'll update you on the standings here coming up on the postgame show in just a few moments. Also, we'll be heading to the room in New Jersey to get some player reaction in the next several moments. Don Granato's postgame comments, Paul Hamilton's take, all coming your way here on our Sabres postgame show. But let's start by running you through the highlights from this one as the Sabres did get off to a pretty good start. Just 3:19 in, they're buzzing, and a guy that's been buzzing all season long, Dylan Cousins, getting in on the act with a nice shot on the power play to give Buffalo the first goal of the night.
Dougie Hamilton out there killing a penalty here for the Devils. Big body to shoot around, and it gets around for the first goal of the season and the first goal of the game for Dylan Cousins.
Well, Cousins, who I think has deserved to score in all the games so far, his first of the year, Bryson Oposo assisting with Gergensen's in front, and a 1-0 Buffalo lead. Unfortunately for the Sabres, that was their only tally today. We go to the second, no scoring. New Jersey out shooting Buffalo 14-5. Dustin Tokarski with some big saves. We go to the third, and the Devils' pressure finally breaks through on their own power play goal as Hischier puts it in. Hischier getting the goal, his first of the year, 5:52 into the third from Hamilton and Tatar. That made it a 1-1 game at that point. More pressure from the Devils down the stretch, but Tokarski remaining tall. In the third period alone, he faced 15 shots and made 14 saves. We go to the overtime, and each team with a couple of nice chances. Dahlin maybe the best for Buffalo. Bratt had a good look, couldn't get a shot off till the side of the net. Eventually, though, on the stick of Pavel Zacha, who wins the game for New Jersey.
This is Zacha. Drives the middle, drops it back. Severson drops it off for Zacha with the shot, scores. The game winner in overtime for New Jersey. Pavel Zacha
with the second goal of the year here. It was a perfectly placed shot.
I agree, Rob. Zacha, a real wrister there from the circle, beating Dustin Tokarski on a night where he was the Sabres' best player and a game winner. Zacha's second of the season from Severson at 3:09. That is the play of the game, brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. Bet on Buffalo with Seneca Sports Resorts and Casinos. And those are all your moments of the game, and they are brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. All right, Brian Colziel here on the postgame. We'll be heading to the locker room in just a moment in New Jersey to get some thoughts from the players as well as Don Granato as the Sabres drop their second straight, although this one is in overtime where they do pick up a point. So 7 points for the Sabres and probably you'd say over the course of 60 minutes, maybe the Sabres, you know, didn't deserve a point in terms of how they were outplayed in the second and the third. But nevertheless, you take it, I guess, on a night where the team clearly was fatigued, their first back-to-back go at it. And we're ready to go to the room. Will Butcher, the former Devil, now Sabre, is live in New Jersey. Let's pick up the Sabres defenseman now.
A little bit of everything. Maybe we weren't getting to pucks as quick, back-to-back, a little tired, not reading as quick. They did a good job breaking out, hitting the weak side D, it seemed, a couple times. I don't have the exact answer for it. I'd watch our game again. I don't know.
Did it feel like it was tough to really sustain momentum with, you know, two consecutive penalties in the second period? Even the first when, I mean, the goal got this, you know, there was no goal on their call, but it's a stoppage in play. It just seemed like.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a choppy a little bit, hard to get in the flow sometimes. But, I mean, it happens again, so you just got to battle through it and look to, you know, improve in the next one if that happens again.
How much did Ticker just keep you guys in the game tonight?
He was awesome. Unbelievable. Gave us a chance, you know, we had a couple breakdowns and he bailed us out a couple times. So he had a really good game.
What was it like for you
to come back here? Yeah, I was laughing with Mark a little bit because I was like, well, now I've been in every way locker room. And then he's like, well, you haven't been in Seattle yet. I was like, you're right. So, it was close to real, just kind of walking around, took a walk down. You know, I lived in Jersey City where we stayed down there. So took a walk around. And as you can see, the crowd is great. Great fans here. So it was fun to be back and on the other side of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to go to Zoom. Will, we're going to start with Paul Hamilton.
Well, was it weird to play against guys?
Somebody's asking questions, but I can't hear.
Hold on.
Okay, Will, can you hear us now?
Yep,
you're good.
Okay, Paul, go ahead, please.
Well, was it weird to play against guys that have been teammates of yours for so many years?
Yeah, definitely. You know, lining up against like Nico Hischier, Jesper Brad, Zaka, guys that I came into the league with, definitely was a little weird and a little surreal looking over them and looking down and I have a just different jersey on. But it was fun to play against those guys and I got them another two times. So looking forward to it again.
Well, obviously being a backup goaltender is tough playing maybe once a week. What from what you've seen from Dustin now being around him, just what makes him able to handle that and thrive in that situation, in your opinion?
First thing I noticed about Tinker is he's a great teammate. I think that goes hand in hand because the guys are back there. They want him to do well. They trust him. They believe him. And he's just, he's a great person.
All right. Well, maybe we got it back. All right. We'll stick with Will Butcher here on the post game.
Will, you guys practice hard all the time. We watch you guys practice every day, and you guys go hard every day. Did it surprise you a little bit that maybe you guys did run out of gas midway through that game?
Yes and no. I mean, it's first back-to-back, I think, other than preseason. So we knew we were going to be fatigue was going to be a factor. I thought we had pretty good legs the first two periods. Seemed to die out there. You know, in the third, and I think they kind of tilted the ice on us, you know, a little fresher than us. But at the same time, like, you're going to have back-to-backs. I think we've got 16 of them this year. So, I mean, you got to bear through it, and we got a point out of it. You know, we'd like to get two, and we just need to keep working and know that for the next time and keep growing, you know, as the season progresses here.
Okay, thank you, Will.
All right, there is Will Butcher, the former Devil, now Sabre. Pretty weird, right, TJ? It was Butcher and VC, the two that fans were clamoring for more of any two players that got away. And when they both returned in their own ways, even Butcher back in prospects games was booed at Harbor Center. VC was booed. They both end up on Buffalo. VC, of course, now not with the Sabres anymore, but here's Butcher back. And
VC's with the Devils now.
That's right. So that's right. Ironically enough, he's with the Devils. After what, a trip with Toronto in there too?
That's
what?
Right.
So, yeah, it's those two players. And probably, I'm not saying anything that's not obvious here, but the buildup of those two guys by Sabre fans was so strong that you'd think the Sabres lost out on two, like, future Hall of Famers. And now they're kind of just both role players, I guess you'd say. So
imagine they ended up Sabres, how they'd be talked to about it, all the talk that they had leading up to those moves. let's just say it's probably better that it worked out this way for them.
Yes.
In Sabre land, if you will.
That's right. The Sabres, interesting stat here. The Sabres came into tonight number one in the NHL in shots attempted, almost 60 a game. Tonight, just to show you again how the second and the third went, the shots attempted were 70 to 45 New Jersey. So it's real. Two games in two nights with the style I think that the Sabres want to play, which I want them to play, which is a very, very, very fast puck pressure sort of game. You're going to use your legs quite a bit. And it was evident in the second and the third. You know, you heard Paul ask Will Butcher there, hey, were you actually surprised with maybe the fact that you were a little fatigued in it? And it's the first time they did it. I'm sure that they'll figure out a way to maybe make it better going forward. You could, I guess, spin it both ways. You know, Paul says, I've never seen this team practice harder. And the players, in some sense, have said, hey, we feel very conditioned for games. And then there's others that would say, well, hey, you practice so hard, you're going to set yourself up to be tired quicker. So, you know, I guess it's a catch-22 in terms of which way you want to spin it. I think I still like the fact that I'm hearing that practices are so much faster with a better tempo. Don Granato takes practice drills very seriously. Hey, if they mess up, they start it over, that sort of mentality. I guess there's a time and a place where practice can be kind of, you know, what you'd consider to be a relaxed atmosphere. But I think Granato, with this group, keeping practices very structured is going to help pay off for them in the future here down the stretch. And, you know, let's face it, there are some younger guys on this team too. And having them show players eventually down the road when they're veterans how to practice properly, I think, is important. 2-1, Devils win it. Buffalo facing a New Jersey team tonight without their best player. Jack Hughes, if you realize throughout the game, did not play. He missed the game with a shoulder dislocation, injured reserve, no real timetable on his return. So that's kind of a big blow for the Devils. The Sabres unable to at least take advantage in terms of a win tonight. It looks as though the Sabres got through this game injury-free. There was no real evidence of any sort of injury along the way. Obviously, if we hear something from Don Granato, we'll talk about that. But for now, that's your injury report on tonight's game, brought to you by Losey and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All right, so to me, the star tonight is Tokarski, facing a ton of shots. As I said, 70 attempted shots. And obviously those aren't physically getting to Tokarski, but he has to be focused and locked in and ready to make a save 70 times tonight. I mean, that's a high number. And credit him for doing a good job to get this game to overtime and get the Sabres a point. The rest of the way, I think we've seen now two solid games from Tokarski. Again, everything this year that we're talking about is a small sample size. Like, it probably doesn't need to be said every single time. But the more and more that the Sabres can rely on Tokarski to play like he has in his first two here, that's even a better sign that I think will mean that Craig Anderson will give you his best going forward. You don't have to play Anderson as often as not. Let's face it, Anderson is 40, and I think he looks really good for a 40-year-old. But I don't think his best path for success is to play 65 games this year. So if these first two games have given any sort of confidence boost to Don Granato, that maybe if there are some games here and there where he's tinkering back and forth to say, hey, can I trust my backup? I think through two games, the answer is yes. He's looked good so far. Again, now they faced Arizona. He has faced Arizona and a Devil team without their best player, Jack Hughes. But he's looked good in both of them, facing a ton of shots. Gave up one goal against Arizona, looked good in the shootout win, gave up two tonight. That goal from Zaka, I mean, that probably is getting scored on almost every NHL goalie. That was a really, really nice shot, 309 into the overtime, which gave the Devils a 2-1 win. But in terms of the goaltending rotation going forward here, like, where do you see, you know, if I'm Don Granato, like, how does this goaltending schedule play out here going forward? I think on Monday, you're coming back with Anderson against Tampa at home. And then the Sabres go out west. And there is there are no back-to-backs in this Western trip. Usually it seems like there always is. Either the LA-Anaheim trip, because the games, because you're right next to each other, essentially, on the map. Usually those two are back-to-back. But there's actually 2 days without games. The Sabres will play Monday against Tampa. Then they go out west. Thursday the 28th at Anaheim. Then off Friday from game action. Off Saturday from game action. And then a Sunday afternoon game against the LA Kings on the 31st on Halloween. So that's how October ends. And then the Western trip continues into November. No game action on Monday the 1st. They're in San Jose on the 2nd. No game action on the 3rd. And then in Seattle on the 4th against the Kraken. And then that's how the Western trip plays out. They'll be off on Friday the 5th, come home and take on the Red Wings on Saturday the 6th. So in there, even though there are no back-to-backs, I think now we've seen at least through two games that Don Granato can trust his backup goaltender if he wants to go ahead and play Tokarski on this trip. Where do you fit it in? I don't know. I think you play Anderson against Tampa. If it goes well, you can probably come back with him against Anaheim. And then, you know, I think there's a spot in there for sure where we'll see Tokarski on the Western trip, even though there aren't any back-to-backs. When the Sabres come back after the Western trip, I think you'll see Tokarski again, either on Saturday the 6th against Detroit or Monday in Washington. Usually coming back from the Western trip and adjusting from the time zones, that does can be taxing on the body. So there's there. And then another pair of back-to-back games on Friday the 12th and 13th against Edmonton and Toronto. By the way, I'm looking forward to those two games, November 12th and November 13th against Edmonton and Toronto. Couple of reasons. Well, first of all, seeing the best player on the planet, if you're a sports fan, even though they are against the Sabres that night and Connor McDavid, it is still fun to see. But the Canadian border will be open before those games. So I know that getting the logistics of getting over the border does require some effort, but I know there are a lot of fans in Southern Ontario of the Sabres or hockey in general who are definitely going to be in the building on the 12th to see McDavid play. And then, oh, by the way, the next night, the Leafs are there. So you've got McDavid and you've got Toronto. If you're in Southern Ontario and you want to make a weekend in Buffalo, like, there's your road trip, TJ, right? You're coming to see McDavid on Friday night. You're getting a hotel in Buffalo on Friday night. And then you're going to go see Toronto on Saturday. And by the way, the Bills are home on that Sunday against the Jets, I believe.
Ah, well.
So, I mean, you could make it. Are they home or away against the Jets on the 14th? I don't know. I'll have to look that up quick. But that's a nice weekend if you're a hockey fan in Southern Ontario. You want to come down and see McDavid. And then you get to see maybe your, you know, the Leafs if you're a Leafs fan.
It's in the Meadowlands. It's in
New Jersey.
It's in
New Jersey. It's at Meadowlands. I almost set up the trifecta there.
Almost.
Sorry. Got a little too excited of how that was developing.
Ontarians, they'll have to come back on January 9th for the Bills.
But if you're a hockey fan, here's also what I'm excited. There'll be more people in the buildings. The crowd has been, the crowd's been good in these games, for sure. But it will be nice to have more in the building. 2-1, Devils victorious. Let's go now to Don Granato, live here on the postgame show as we hear from the Sabres head coach.
Probably not the last 40, maybe the last half of the game. Obviously, the crowd get into it, and we had that dynamic, and they got some adrenaline going. We, you know, fought to get it back, but didn't, obviously.
Although you guys did well on those consecutive PKs for the most part, do you think that might have been a turning point? It seemed like the energy level wasn't quite there.
Right around there. I think coming out of that, we have really good offensive zone possession. Might have been our last offensive zone possession. We had a shot block. They came back down. That scramble started. So, you know, coming out of that, we had an opportunity to be a little bit more efficient, and we weren't, and we get caught there and could never regain it. But, you know, lots of signs of that. One team having a lot more physical energy than the other, and lots to pull from that game as far as what to do and how to operate in that situation. So it was gaining experience from that standpoint.
For the first back-to-backs, tougher than later in the season because you haven't done it yet?
Well, there's certainly elements of the first back-to-back that are tougher. And, you know, now the guys have gone through it. They haven't done it since last season, really. You know, not at this level. Preseason level is totally different. It definitely gives them a gauge of where they're at. And, you know, psychologically and mentally, they know how to prepare and know what the challenge is next time.
Given the fact that I think the shots were 29-12 over the last two periods, given that fact, do you think your goalie still, you guys are playing?
our goalie was the freshest guy in the game, and he looked like it, right? And that's a big part of it. He's a competitor, but clearly he had fresh energy, and did what he should have done. You know, and I think he'd tell you the same thing. We probably had him in here, but did a hell of a job for us. But you know, it was still I thought our guys battled really hard. You know, we didn't give up a lot of second chances other than that first scramble I talked about. We cleaned that up very well. We kept a lot of shots to the outside. But, you know, so we did a lot of things at playing with not much energy to keep things to the outside. And again, their goal tie was on par. So, you know, even I felt, you know, 5-5, we were still compensating for some fatigue that was clearly in the game.
Was it a killer, the face-off losses? It feels like in a lot of moments you guys were chasing the game. You had one and done possessions a lot of times because of, you know, face-off losses in the offense on defense. So.
Yeah, and I think the face-off challenge was part of the physical challenge of back-to-back as well. I just think that, in fairness to our guys. But it's, you know, now they got the gauge, they got the barometer now, so we'll have to make improvements in them. We know we need to make improvements in, you know, mentally and physically. So.
Couple Zoom questions. We'll start with
Don. Go ahead with Zoom questions.
Don, on the overtime goal, what was Jeff Skinner doing on that?
Oh,
he seemed to go right
by
the play.
I can see you talking.
Don, can you hear us now?
Yeah, go for it.
I have you now.
Go ahead, Paul.
Don, what was Jeff Skinner doing on the overtime goal? He looked like he skated right by the play to open ice, and there was nobody around where he went to, and it wound up being a 3-on-2 against you.
I'll have to watch it again, Paul, but my guess is anticipating, you know, just from what I saw from that bench. But it's something I'll look at after the game. I'm not going to be critical on anything until I get a full review of everything, Paul. It's just that simple. So in fairness to everybody.
I mean, this is Dustin's second consecutive strong outing. He was good last year. Him establishing himself as a strong second option, how critical is that to your success, you know, going forward, I guess?
Yeah, we can keep getting performances like that. You know, we love it. You know, he feels and he looks comfortable to me within the whole system of how we want to play. He's reading where and when and how shots are coming and, you know, the way our defense plays situations, and he's feeding. He looks very comfortable in that regard, very, you know, aggressive in that regard. When you see a guy playing aggressively in net, confidently, you know, he has that feel of, you know, it's a six-man unit out there. And, you know, like I said, he was the freshest guy today, and it looked like it. He had great energy all the way through.
Don, a lot of incredible chances in the past two games that have not gotten to the back of the net. What do you do as a coach in the next few practices of heading into the next game on Monday?
Yeah, you know, we won't have rest is kind of the what we'll get now. We won't have much practice time. We play, I think it's Monday. We have a long travel day out west in there. So, and you have a couple games back to back, so you can pull things from film. That, you know, your corrections will come from there. These guys, their bodies, now it's time for it to recover. Obviously, we saw the challenge in the second half of the game. So that'll be our approach over the next couple of days.
Thank you, Don. Safe travels back.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, there is Sabres head coach Don Granato following the Buffalo 2-1 overtime loss. The Sabres are now 3-1-1 on the season. What does that mean in the standings? Well, we'll give you that here as Buffalo in the Atlantic right now, still trailing Florida, who won again today. They're 5-0, 10 points. But the Sabres, sole second, they have 7 points, 3-1-1. Detroit, 2-2-1. And Toronto, 2-3-1. They have 5 points. So Sabres still sitting in second right now in the Atlantic. There's your look at the standings. Buffalo's next game, Tampa Bay, Monday, 7 o'clock, KeyBank Center. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. Thank you for listening tonight. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, including Paul Hamilton, who's coming up next, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, our flagship, Paul Hamilton's take coming up when we return 2-1. Devils win it in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Welcome back here, Sabres postgame show. Brian Colzie with you. 2-1 New Jersey wins it, courtesy of Pavel Zacha. The Kraken playing their first home game tonight. They officially retired number 32. Can you figure out why? TJ, Corey, why'd they retire the number 32?
Is it because they're the 32nd team?
That is correct.
I thought they signed Michael Tauquist.
Ah, good guess.
Thanks. But
yes, franchise 32. They retired 32 tonight.
Just huge fans of Rob Ray. Just can't get enough of the guy.
That's right. They don't want anybody to wear Rob Ray's number.
I'm surprised they just didn't retire it when the Sabres visit the Kraken later this month.
That's right. All right, Paul Hamilton in 1 minute, but Corey with a quick sports update here as he takes you around the NHL.
Thank you, Brian. Let's get a look at the games currently underway right now in the NHL. The Blues lead the Kings 6-2. That's in the third period. Islanders a 1-0 lead over the Coyotes in the second. Lightning, Avalanche tied at 3, and they are currently in the shootout. One game about to get underway. Canucks and Kraken. Finals from earlier today. Rangers over the Senators 3-2 in overtime. Calgary over Washington 4-3. Minnesota 4-3 also in overtime over Anaheim. Carolina defeated Columbus 5-1. Montreal 6-1 over Detroit. Florida 4, Philadelphia 2. Pittsburgh 7-1 over Toronto. And Winnipeg 6-4 over Nashville. In baseball, currently in the bottom of the fifth, the Braves lead the Dodgers 4-1. College football, UB defeats Akron 45-10. 21 points in the second and third quarter for UB. They are 4-4. There's a look around the league and the world of sports. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you, Corey. Good job on the updates all night long here on a busy sports Saturday. Let's bring Paul Hamilton in now, who's a big fan of retiring numbers for no reason. I know this. Right, Paul? You're in favor of 32 going up to the rafters in Seattle before a game's even played?
That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, my God.
It's the statues and the numbers are retired that you just shake your head and go, what? How did that number get retired? Especially the statues. The statues are the ultimate. You know, and the Sabres did the French Connection. That's well done. If they did want a Dominic, I can live with that.
Yep. Which I think they should.
And that would be it. I mean, yeah. As far as statue goes. And, you know, I go to St. Louis, and there were a lot of great St. Louis Cardinals and St. Louis Blues, but they way overdo the statues. It's crazy, especially in front of the ballpark. There's statues all over the place. And so, yeah, it's in a lot of the retired numbers as I went around the league. I just shook my head going, really? Are you kidding me? So I think a lot of it is overdone.
Well, we'll use this segue, Paul, to go ahead, and since you've said it many times, I'll say it for you so you don't have to, that there is one number that should be retired for the Sabres, and that's number 5.
Yeah, absolutely. And LaFontaine was a great player, no question about it, but he missed almost half his games as a Sabre. That's why I wouldn't have retired 16. Tim Horton was a great defenseman in the NHL, but he just barely played 100 games. I know he died as a member of the Buffalo Sabres. I would have a memorial for him somewhere in the arena. I would not have his number retired, though.
Yep, I agree with you on all sense. Someday I might get you in on maybe on Miller's 30, but I know
we've done that before. It's been a few years, but we've done that before. I don't even think it's a discussion, but a lot of people disagree with me.
Right, and that's not the first time a lot of people have disagreed with you. No, Paul, you're the star of our show. Don Granato didn't – I want to go right to the game winner because after you mentioned about you – I think you – I don't know if you texted me, say, look at Skinner on that or if I saw it on Twitter, but I saw the replay of what Skinner did on that game winner there from Zacha. It was a really nice shot, but should not have been that open. What was Skinner doing?
And that's why I've been fighting this fight since Skinner has been here, back when he scored 40 goals. Why isn't Skinner on the ice for overtime? Watch that replay back 900 times, and you'll know why he's not. He did it in Carolina. He was not an overtime player in Carolina. Very rarely was on the ice. That is what you get out of Jeff Skinner in overtime. And, yes, he does have some overtime goals, but if you examine it, I think he had 3 in 1 year for the Sabres. 2 of them were 4-on-3 power plays. They weren't 3-on-3. First thing he did is through the neutral zone, he just waved at Zacha as he went by with the puck, just half-heartedly waved at him, basically did a drive-by, and then got a second chance when it got into the zone and came through. I can't explain. I have never seen anything like it. I've never even seen Grigorenko do this. I mean, just come through the zone, skate by everybody, and just keep going to nowhere. There was nobody over there. He just glided over to open ice where nobody was at. My guess is he wanted to hang. He wanted to be the hanger, where hoping maybe the two Sabres could get the puck back from the three Devils and he could take off and somebody could hit him on a power play. Well, that's not the way the game's played. So he basically hung his two teammates out to dry, and it was a great shot by Zacha to come in. I am just blown away that he just glided by the whole play and just kept gliding and went to nowhere. He wasn't anywhere near any of the three Devils. That is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable, lazy play. I don't know what he had on his mind. I just don't get it at all. That was just that might have been one of the worst plays I've ever seen in overtime.
2-1, Sabres fall in OT. They do get a point, and of course it is courtesy of Dustin Tokarski, Paul. 2 starts now. He's been very good. I know it's easy to say, well, it's Arizona and New Jersey, but I mean, if you watched how he kept his team in the third and even going back to the second, a well-earned point for him tonight.
Well, Arizona didn't put a lot of heat on him, but the Devils did. But you know what? And I don't know if you wrote it in your notes, when Studnick went down and had the play to come in and he made the phenomenal save. I would say there might have been 8 minutes into the period, 9 minutes into the period, somewhere in there.
Yeah, in the second, yep.
Yeah. At that point, the Devils had not had a scoring chance to that point of the game. That's how well the Sabres had been playing. They had some shots, but none of them were difficult. None of them were scoring chances. And from that point forward, the Devils absolutely took the game over. I mean, the shots in the from the second, third, and overtime were 31-12 Devils. At the end of the first period, it was 13-8 Sabres. And the Sabres just absolutely – I don't know why that particular play took it out of them, but they were skating in mud after that. They were just dead. And, you know, Brian, I'm a little surprised because I'm watching the practices in the preseason games. They're hard practices, and they practice hard. They go. But during the preseason, I thought I was seeing them being very well conditioned. And in third period of games, look at that game they came back in Columbus. A lot of that, I thought it was because they were in great condition.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ready to be able to come back in that from a 4-1 deficit. And they were still had the pedal to the metal in the third period and were going. Now, this is only one example. It's their first. I understand it's their first back-to-back. But, wow, they just had nothing left. And I don't know. I hesitate. I don't think I want to blame it on hard practices because, again, that, I think, helps get you into shape. And that's how, you know, they were out of shape when Kruger had him. And then he did like a week and a half of hard practices, and it was like a different team. So I just think it might have been circumstance where, you know, they hadn't had a back-to-back in a while, and it just caught up to them. But, wow, the Devils – and it got to a point where Tokarski absolutely went from basically – a very easy game to stealing them a point. I mean, they were just trying to get that into the garage, hoping they could get it to overtime. So at least they were going to get a point out of the game. They were able to do it, but thanks to Tokarski and pretty much nothing else.
And I was even thinking, Paul, God, I'm like, if they could somehow get to a shootout, Tokarski has been very good in shootouts, mm-hmm. you know, in the short time that we've seen him as a Saber. So I'm thinking like, geez, just maybe they could somehow pull this out. But obviously that sequence that we're, Zacha gets free, and he ends up with a beautiful shot.
And you let Dawes off the hook. He's a rookie goalie in his first game. It's something we're used to seeing here in Buffalo. It happens a lot. But they had some glorious scoring opportunities on him. The only goal he gave up was because of a Gergensen screen and a really nice shot by Cousins. but they had some glorious opportunities, and they did hit another crossbar, but they weren't able to get another puck by him. And then once, you know, that middle of the second period rolled around, he basically did what Tokarski did in the first half of the game, stand there. I mean, he didn't have to do much. He had to make a few good saves. Dahlin, in overtime, made a really nice move and cut into the net. That was a real nice cut to the net and basically was face-to-face with Dawes, and he missed the net, so he didn't even force Dawes into a save there. Skinner was in front. He was stopped by Dawes late in the third period, and that I thought to myself, wow, it's been a while since he's had to make a decent save. That was a decent save, I thought, down there, you know, trying to as they tried to get the win.
And I think, Paul, you know, if we take away, well, what's the overall biggest positive from this game tonight? For me, it's the question that I think was asked to Don Granato is reliance, now knowing you have a second goaltender that you can go to. And Craig Anderson at age 40, probably his success path, if he's going to be successful this year, it wasn't going to be playing 65 games. So the fact that maybe Granato now can rely on Tokarski, if he has these spots in the schedule, at least in the near future, where he's thinking like, well, should I or should I not? Like, he has that option now, at least so far, small sample size, but so far, to be able to say, hey, I can go to my backup and give ourselves almost just as good of a chance, if not the same.
Yeah, and the Sabres are 3-1-1 now, and I haven't disliked their goaltending in any of the five games. I think they've been fine. I don't think Anderson was bad against the Bruins. You know, I thought the Bruins didn't get cheap goals on them. I mean, there wasn't anything where you thought, oh, geez, how did Anderson let that in? I mean, he was fine. So I wouldn't have any complaints at all on the goaltending on any of the five games.
I would agree. And 3-1-1, who listening right now wouldn't have signed up for that to start the year?
Sure. Right. I mean, it's gone a little bit the way I thought it. I kind of had my head 4-1. So it's only 1 point difference from what I had in my head at this point. You know, we'll see how they do at home against Tampa. They will have a day off, so they should be fairly well rested. And they do get Tampa at home. And as I told you before the season started, if they are indeed better and they think they are, and they have shown us that they are, even in this game, I mean, the first half of the game, they dominated. I mean, they were on it. I mean, they were pushing the pace, the game, and the Devils didn't know what to do. And it just, the Devils, I think, were kind of lucky the Sabres ran out of gas because they could not keep up at all. The Sabres really were the better team for half the game. So, yes, we have seen that they are better than last year, and that's where I got the first 11 games aren't extremely difficult. You basically have Boston and Tampa. And then I thought, all right, you probably will have two slip-ups along the way at least. So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to think if they are better, why not get 14 out of 22 points to start the year? Because I don't think they'll have an easier stretch than these 11 games for the whole season.
7 of a possible 10 here so far in terms of the points with this 3-1-1 record. Well, Paul, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing you on Monday as we get ready for the Sabres and the Lightning. And you've got Seattle's home debut on TV. If you can, I'm sure you'll be having that on.
Well, unfortunately, my day isn't over. It's time to
write your article
to WGR.com and make a contribution there. And as much as I would like those articles to write themselves, unfortunately, they don't. So I'm going to have to think of something and put it down on paper.
That's right. And congrats on your Cyclones win today in college football.
Crazy. I was texting you, and I didn't like some of the decisions that were going on along the way, but somehow they pulled it out, and the refereeing was horrible both ways. I mean, Iowa State got screwed out of a touchdown because they thought trotting into the end zone, and he was hardly even trotting, was showing somebody up. And I kind of thought on fourth down, I thought Oklahoma State got the first down, and Iowa State, the original call was they didn't, and they upheld the call, and I felt very lucky on that one. So both teams got some bad calls along the way, which happens in all games. That's why I can't stand all the whining about Bills calls and Sabres calls, because you know what? Just as many go the other way, too. Officiating is horrendous in the NFL. It's horrendous in college football. It's horrendous in the NHL, and it's horrendous for both teams. Both teams get bad calls, so that's why when people start whining about officials and that Buffalo gets screwed here and screwed there, it's like, okay, that's fine. Maybe they did, and tell me the three times that the opponent got screwed too, and then I'll listen to this.
I'll tell you, Paul. I was worried about you on that fourth and one. You were. I wasn't sure if we were gonna get you on the air there.
I know we were in commercial, and I was about ready to go on the air, and I was surprised the game was like over then. I was expecting to have to tape some of the game, and it's like, all right, we're gonna make this call before Brian calls on me here or not. I don't want to be on the air as this goes down. So and they did for me. So that was nice.
Just barely before the break.
That's right. I was keeping an eye on it at the TV in the producer's room, and I saw the big hit there on fourth down. So
that was a huge hit, which saved the first down. But didn't you think that was a first down?
Yes, with the way he fell forward on top of the lineman, and you're not down if you're on top of a player. So then they kind of rolled even more forward.
The only thing I can think of is every replay I saw, you couldn't see the ball.
Yeah, good point. And since the original call in the field was short, then they didn't have evidence to overturn it.
But it looked to me like he definitely was past it.
Yep, I would agree. All right, Paul. Well, we'll look forward to seeing your article, WGR550.com, and we'll chat. I'll see you Monday at the arena for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, last time we'll be at the arena for a while, and I'll get to see the game once on the road. As you know, I'm going to Seattle. But
this building that I'm watching the game at right now, you'll be there. That'll be cool.
Yes, I'll be there on November 4th, so I'm looking forward to it.
Will you be now at every NHL arena?
Yes, not yet. The Islanders' new one.
Oh, the new one.
I would not have been to theirs either. So that maybe that's my field trip next year.
And that hasn't officially had a game yet. So there's nobody else that could say that they've been there. You haven't either, so that's that.
But we'll have good coverage in Seattle. Both me and Pat Malacara will be there, so you'll have – why don't you come on out too, and we'll just do our whole thing out there.
Unbelievable. These two guys set up a vacation to Seattle, TJ, and somehow I don't know about it until everything's booked.
So we're the afterthoughts.
I know.
Always the afterthoughts.
They're like, we'll let Brian and TJ do all the work. We'll have fun out here in Seattle. Unbelievable. All right, Paul. See you Monday.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. All right, Paul Hamilton there. Yeah, it would be nice to go out to Seattle. So,
we'll make our own trip. You want to make some plans?
Yes, and we're not going to invite Paul and Pat.
Absolutely not.
That's right. We'll let them know when we're already there.
Just because we're going to invite Corey too. You know, he can hear all this, so I just want to make sure that he knows that he's invited too. Thought of him first.
And we're inviting anybody that's listening to go.
I mean,
whenever we
decide
whatever trip we're going on.
Can't wait.
Everybody can go. Just not Paul and Pat.
That's right.
They went. They're going to Seattle without us. Screw them.
All right.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. The way the Sabres started tonight, it felt like, okay, on your way to bouncing back. But clearly, there was just not enough oomph in it in the second and the third. And I guess at the end of the night, I'm sitting here saying, well, it took a really good performance from Tokarski to get the point. This is what happens in the NHL with back-to-backs. I guess you just take it and you move on. So 3-1-1. Still a very good start, and the defending champion Lightning will be in KeyBank Center on Monday, and that is when we will speak with you next. So we put a wrap here on the Sabres postgame. Thanks to TJ Luckman, our network producer, Corey Griswold anchoring all evening long, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colesfield. I thank you for listening. Final again in overtime, New Jersey 2, Buffalo 1. Talk to you Monday night from downtown Buffalo right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.